So we're going to look at James chapter 3, and we're going to call this forgiveness, escaping bitterness. I want to give you the keys of how to get out of this, because sometimes it can be difficult to let go of things in the natural. Naturally speaking, it's hard. Have you ever talked to someone who said, you've got to let that go? That is killing you. That's eating you up on the inside. That is destroying you. And they look at you. I've had somebody look at me and grit their teeth and say, I can't let it go. That's how much hurt meant to them. And I don't want to demise or make it small. There have been bad things that have happened to every person in this congregation. Bad things that have happened to me, bad things that have happened to you. And we all have the right, naturally, to be bitter. Every one of us. Every one of us. And there have been times that when you were young, the people that should have protected you hurt you. And I don't want to diminish that pain, and I don't want to act like it doesn't matter and that you just got to let it go. I don't want to act that way. And there are things that have happened in families 50 to 100 years ago that families are still holding on to that are angry at another family, and they don't even know why. They just know they hate their guts. And so I recognize that this pain is real. I recognize that there is a reasoning. But sometimes we even get to a point where we don't even know the reason why we're still bitter. But we just know that we are. And we know that they deserve it. Well, guess what? We all deserve hell. But thanks to the blood of Jesus that was shed, God says if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we don't get what we deserve, because the old man dies and pass away, and behold, all things have been made new, so no longer do you deserve hell. And so in all of this, maybe they do deserve bitterness. Maybe they do deserve you to be mean and hateful toward them. But the thing is, the same God that died for you died for them. And when we forgive, we imitate our Father in heaven above. That's why they call us Christians, to be Christ-like. When you forgive, that's Christ-like. Oh, I want to speak to some families real quick. You ain't married, you just hold on for a second. Husbands, some of you need to let go of some things. Wives, some of you need to let go of some things. And if you were the person that knew the husband or wife, you should have let it go, get up and moonwalk out of this place. I'm just kidding. Don't get up. You'll get in more trouble. But sometimes we got to let go of some things. And it doesn't mean that we forget or that we don't learn our lesson. I'm going to tell you something. If somebody has hurt you over and over and over again, you can let something go. And what it means to let go and to forgive means I'm not going to hurt them. I'm not going to get after them. I'm not going to be vindictive between them. But some people you got to love from afar.
That's right.
Some people I can't allow in my circle. I'm just going to tell you this. There are people that when I have gone home have caused me trouble every time I go. Caused drama every time I go. I don't deal with drama. I don't like drama. I don't put up with drama. I don't allow drama in my family. I don't allow you to bring your drama in my... In my walls, there is peace.
Yes.
Because the Holy Spirit lives there, God lives there, and that is His will for my house, is to have peace. And if you bring discord into my home, you're not allowed in. I'll give you a couple times. I'll even warn you. I will even come to you and say, hey, now, let me tell you, when I go back home, there's somebody I've had to warn. I said, every time I come home, when you come around, you bring drama.
Right.
I love my wife and my kids too much to wait this long to be on vacation and then have to deal with junk for 3 days of it.
Yeah.
So this is your warning. I love you. I want you to still be in my life, but you do this again, then when you come here, I'll be somewhere else. Because I am serious about the peace in my family's home. Mm-hmm. I don't allow that stuff in my house. I don't allow it in my life. And if I notice it trying to creep in, I get rid of it. Oh, that's good stuff. Oh, y'all quieted down on that one. They're like, Pastor, that's a little mean. People are dealing with stuff. I didn't say we don't help people. We help people. You help people get out of the stuff that they're in. But you don't help people stay in the mess they're in. Mm-hmm. So where are we? Did we turn to James?
Yes.
James chapter 3, verse 14. But if ye have bitterness, envy, strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. For the wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. In verse 16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Notice something, not a couple evil works. Every evil work is possible when you find envy and strife and bitterness. When you find that in life, every evil work is possible. Do you know bitterness changes people? Bitterness will change people. The word bitterness here is the Greek word pikros. Pikros. And if you want to look me up, it's if you look in your Strong Concordance, it's number 4078. It comes from the word pike, which means to cut or prick. Now, not like sharp with as a knife, but it tends to lean toward pungence of sense and smell. So something that's sharp that smells. Or something. Have you ever tasted something bitter? This is what it's talking about. It's not talking about someone cutting you with a knife. It's talking about a smell or taste that cuts. You put something in your mouth that was bitter, what do you do to it? Oh my goodness, y'all are smart people. You are smart people. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we have a men's event every once in a while, and we go to Quaker Steak and Lube. And there's a couple guys in our church that can eat those, are they Super Atomic? Or there's something above the Super Atomic hot wings? Where's Ryan? There you are. What is the hottest hot wings you can get there? Triple Atomic. You know how he knows that? He eats them every time he's there. And like he eats them like a gentleman. I've never seen someone eat hot wings like he does. He just gets them and he just like he's eating, like he's a giant eating little chickens. I mean, it just kind of amazes me to watch him eat Triple Atomic hot wings. Now, I can eat about two or three and then I'm done. You know, I don't do much more than that. And then some of the guys can't even do what. And then I've noticed one man who tried it and he held it in his mouth as long, and he ate more than he should have because it was almost a competition to see who could eat the most. You know, you get into a competition and he ate it. And then the next day he told me, he says, I wish I wouldn't have. I should have just spit it out, knew I couldn't handle that heat. He says, because it didn't stop there. It came home with me. It woke up with me. You know, if it was winter, he would have been sitting on a snow pile. Mm-hmm. That's about as graphic as I'm going to go with that. And bitterness will cause you to almost be in competition. Because bitterness will cause envy and strife. And all of a sudden, you got to keep up with the Joneses. And all of a sudden, you've got to do better than they do. That person that hurt me, I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to have better stuff than they do. I'm going to live better than they do. I'm going to be nicer than them, have nicer clothes than them, have better family than them. And the only reason you'll hold on to bitterness is because you are in a competition. The only reason you hold on to bitterness is because you are in pride. And let me tell you something else. When you hold on to bitterness, the only person you hurt is you. You know what? The person who hurt you don't even think about you. They don't even care about you. You don't even pop up in their mind. They may hate that they did it. They may be apologetic for it, but it doesn't stop them. They're now singing in the choir. Oh, none of our choirs, you know. I'm talking about other people's choirs. You know, they may have their own ministry now. They may have got remarried. They may have went down the road and started another business. They're living life. And the only person that is arrested in their development that is being held back is the one that is bitter. The only person that gets hurt in bitterness is the person and everybody around that one bitter person. So if that person ain't hanging out with you or around you, you ain't doing jack to them. You're only doing it to yourself. So you're going to have to let go of some stuff. Now, what happens when you put something bitter in your mouth? You do what? Unless you're in competition, you spit that mess out. That is what the smart thing to do. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse 23. For I perceive that there art gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. The gall of bitterness. You know, the definition of gall here is interesting. Gall can mean attitude. It can mean your attitude. How they have, look at the gall. Have you ever said that about somebody? What gall they have to walk in here, do something like that, act like that, talk like that to me. That takes gall. So it can refer to attitude. Another thing it can refer to is bile, waste, out of your liver. They call it gall. I ain't never tasted it, but I'm pretty sure it's bitter. I don't want to taste anything that comes out of my liver. But this is it. And so I think it applies to both. I think it absolutely applies to both. Because bitterness is an attitude, and it's nothing in a biblical sense, waste, crud. Think in your mind what comes to your mind. That's what it is. It's waste. It's sewage. Bitterness is sewage in your life. But the worst thing is it's an attitude that we control. You might say, I can't help but to be bitter. We're going to help you today. Amen. We're going to help you let go of some
Praise
things.
The Lord.
Now, I've heard people tell me they can't be bitter. All right, they can't help but to be bitter. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. And you got to spit it out just like you would something that's bitter. Right. Now, the children of Israel, this was the first story when I was thinking about this. The first story that came to my mind is the children of Israel. They left Egypt out of 400 years of bondage. 400 years of being a slave. They're let go. You know, you've seen the Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston leading his people out. Nobody see that movie? Okay, maybe the cartoon for the younger crowd. The Prince of Egypt. And so in all of this, they led the children of Egypt out. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And one of the places they come to in the desert is a land called Marah. Now, they learned very quickly why it was named Marah. They went down. Marah means bitterness. And they got water out of a local reservoir and tried to drink it, and it was too bitter to drink. Now, I want you to see something that's very sad to me. That bitter water, that bitter experience made them bitter. They were slaves, and they come back to Moses. Moses had the same order that they did. And they come to Moses, and they say, Moses, you led us in the desert to die, at least in Egypt. Yes, they hit us with whips and chains. They're here like, we were beaten. Yeah, we had to wake up at the crack of dawn and go to bed tired, whipped. And yes, our elderly died early. Yes, our kids were beat. Yes, we didn't have education. Yes, we were held down in society. But we had water, Moses. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle from God. Let's talk about some of the stuff. God, you know, the when the death angel came in, they were saved. And when I say angel, I ain't talking of God. All right, and so let's go back. The water was turned into blood, an infestation of frogs, and none of it touched where Israel was. None of it touched them. It was dark. The only light in the city was on Israel. They saw all this, and this is not far from that moment. And they get out in the desert. How quick it is for humanity to forget how good God has been to them. How quick it is for the people of God to forget how good God has been to us. Like, this is what I don't understand. Because if you know, people say you should forget your past. You shouldn't let your past hold you back. You should remember your past where you came from. You should remember that because God has been faithful. The children of Israel should have had like a rear view mirror. You know, look in their rear view and say, yeah, you know what? He split the Red Sea. That's kind of amazing. And I have a different mentality than most people. I don't know if you figured that out yet. But I just picture things differently. I kind of feel, because it said the Red Sea split, right? And they walked across on dry ground. I believe there were some fish that didn't make it out in time. I think water disappeared quicker than the fish can get out of the way. And so as they're walking, I see fish on the ground flopping all around. And I see, say, you want salmon? Okay. And pick it up and take it with them. I think God fed them at the same time of delivering them. That's my personal opinion. And I almost see like a wall of water. If there was a wall of water, if one's swimming real close, watch this, I can get him noodling. They were rednecks. Yeah. Like, I'm going to catch him. And I think they had dinner on the other side. And then the Lord destroyed their enemies as they came through. And they forgot that not many days after. They forgot it. It wasn't enough to hold them. So what this bitter experience made them bitter. And they came before Moses and they began to complain, murmur and complain. And what happened? Moses did not murmur and complain. Moses went before the Lord and said, "This is the problem, Lord. What is your solution?" And God gave him a solution. How can people face the same issues of life? Or how about kids face the exact same problem? And one go one way and one go the other. Attitude. Decision making. Some people can get bitter and some people will get better. And you don't allow your bitterness to hold you back or to hold you down. You don't allow it in your life. You get rid of it. Now, bitterness can come from people or circumstances. Proverbs 22, you can just write this down. Proverbs 22 tells us not to be friends with angry or bitter people because it will trap your soul. And again, it does not mean you don't help angry and bitter people. And when I say angry, I'm not talking about I'm mad because somebody did something to me. I'm talking about people. It's a lifestyle we're talking about, being angry every day. Every time you wake up, you're angry. Every time you wake up, you're in rage. Because there's righteous anger. You can be angry and it can be from God.
That's true.
Because there are angry things about my nation and about this world that angers me. And that's righteous anger, and it's some motivation to get you to change what's going on. I'm talking about people who live in rage every day of their life, or who break out in fits of rage and something takes over them. The Bible says, be not drunk. And we just think wine, alcohol, beer. I'm trying to think of names of beers. Miller, Bud, all the coolers. Man, y'all are very well versed. So in all these, but yes, it's talking about that. But I'm going to tell you something. I've seen people drunk in rages of anger. And they do stuff that is just as stupid, if not more, than being drunk on wine. They say things they would never say. They end up in jail with fits of anger. Road rage. Oh, my Lord, have you seen it? Have you done it? Nobody raise your hand. Be not drunk with anything. Oh, while we're on this subject, don't be drunk with love either. That's ridiculous. You can be in love, but don't do stupid stuff. Don't be stupid. Good Lord, what's wrong with people? All right, I'm not gonna expound on that. We're gonna move forward. Now let's look at James chapter 3:14. We're going back to this. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. How many of you heard somebody that does glory in their bitterness? I've heard people glory in their bitterness. You know what they've done to me? I'm gonna get them back. Let me tell you how. They boast. And they're bitter. They plan. It consumes them. I had somebody tell me one time. And it's interesting. And no, I will not tell you who it was. None of your business. But I had somebody that was so angry with me. So mad with me. That they said, I lay in bed at night. And I think of ways to destroy you. Isn't that terrible? That's bitterness. That has been bitterness that takes over your heart. That controls you. And there are people that are bitter in this world that they think nothing more. It consumes them every waking moment. When they try to sleep at night, it creeps into their mind and it destroys their life. Now, let's keep reading. And lie not against the truth. If you begin to tell people you have a right to be bitter, you're lying. You have no right to be bitter. You have absolutely no right to be bitter. If you say, I can't get over this bitterness, you're lying again. You're lying. Now, I understand it may seem that way. It may seem that that is the realistic situation that you are in, but you are wrong. Have you ever been wrong before? Yes. And if this is your mentality about bitterness, you are wrong again. Man, you sure did get quiet in this Baptist church. Now, verse 15, the wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. Now, let me say this, is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So bitterness, this is where bitterness comes from. Are you ready? It's earthly, it's fleshly. Starts off with the flesh. There was a hurt, there was a pain, there was a suffering, there was somebody who did something or a situation that happened in your life, and it caused a root of bitterness to come in. Then the next thing, it says that it is sensual. All of a sudden, our mind takes over, our soul takes over. That word mind, our sensual, there is the word, it is the Greek word, psukinos. Psukinos. And that's a southern pronouncing Greek for you. And it means soul. Back home, we used to pronounce it this way. Mom, you'll recognize this word. We actually called it this, suke. Because that's how we used to call pigs. We didn't have pigs, but when you called pigs, you yelled out, suke. Okay, I ain't doing it for you. Because it gets real loud and high-pitched, and I want you to picture me the way you do. Not as a pig collar. But it means soul. It means your very soul. So it starts off in the flesh, and it works its way into your inner man. It works its way into your soul. And then it says it's devilish. Once you allow the flesh to take over and bring it into your inner being, into your mind, into your senses, then it says demonic spirits take over and have a field day with your mind, with your home, with your relationships, with your family, with your job. You open a door that allows the enemy to come in and have set up camp in your front yard. Bitterness will allow it to come right on in. You upset about that? Go to the Bible. Go to Jesus. Verse 16. And now where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You want to talk about being led astray? Bitterness will do it. No, we're not going there. All right, let's continue. Let's look at the result of bitterness. A person that is operating in bitterness, they operate in hate. They operate in cruelty. They operate in cruelty. They will do things on purpose to hurt someone else. And something else, they won't allow people in. I've been hurt. And I can only let people so far. Once they take a step over that, I have to push them away. This is a big problem in marriages who bring in baggage. Yeah. Single people, let me talk to you for a moment. You've been hurt in the past, all right. Well, you, if you're going to love people, if you want someone in your life, you can't just shove them out because they get too close and you might be hurt. I know, I counsel, and it's not in this church. It's actually someone out of state. And they asked if I'd counsel. This was when I was single. I don't know why people asked me for marriage counseling when I was single. But it happened all the time. And now that I'm married, people are like, oh, I don't know if it's because you look at them and think, oh, I don't need counseling from him. I don't know what it is. But when I was single, people asked me all the time, and I would refer them to married people. They're like, they can help you. And they said, we feel comfortable with you. We want you to do it. And so we would connect with each other. And what it came down to was the wife was always questioning him, always after him, always getting angry with him for something he really didn't do. And I sensed that, and we started praying, and we started talking about it even more and more, and then found out that she had four or five relationships that she was cheated on and all this stuff. And so she's carrying this baggage into her marriage and holding a good Christian man responsible for the dogs she dated in the past. Can I tell you something else? Fathers, mamas, you got baby girls in your life. Don't tell them when a little boy hits them that it's because they like them. Don't tell them that. You tell them it's because they're young punks. And they ain't been raised right. Give them time. Maybe they'll get better. Because they grow up and they think that when boys are mean to them, oh, they like me. So don't condition your girls that way. Don't condition your girls that way. I tell mine, if he punches you, you draw back with a full fist. I'm just kidding. And when he's done, you just pick up chairs. Let's watch WWE, and I'm going to teach you some things. Now, I'm just having fun. I don't want no letters about that. Now, and so we're pushing people away, and it's causing problems in our family. And we can't have that. We cannot have that. Let's turn to Lamentations. Don't turn there. Turn to Colossians. Turn to Colossians 3. We're going to get there. Now, Lamentations, I want to just talk about this. Lamentations 1 and 4 and Amos 8 and 10. We're going to find two scriptures at that point where the children of Israel were in a vicious circle. a vicious circle that happened to Israel. They begin to look at the prosperity of other nations. And this is, we're talking about circumstances that bring bitterness now. Circumstances that bring bitterness. Israel began to look at other nations, and they looked at the Babylonian system, which is honestly the system we're still in today. That was the first time for gold for trade. You know, that was the Babylonians are the ones that are kind of set for having something that represented gold and trading it. So that's the Babylonian system. And the Babylonians were exploding in wealth. And Israel got to a place where they began to look at the Babylonians. And the Babylonians were evil. They were full of sin. You think of every wickedness. It's there. They beat out. Think of the most sinful city you can think of. You got it? Yeah. Babylonian was worse. Yeah. It was worse than that. And so Israel began to look at the Babylonians and say, Lord, what in the world is going on here? What is going on with Babylon? Let's just break it down. Ready? They are sinning. We serve you, God. We sacrifice. You don't think we want to hook up with people like they hook up with people? You don't think we want to do some of the same things they do? You know why we don't, Lord? Because you told us not to. And not only did you tell us not to, you said you would bless us. And look at them. They have the new caddy. You know what I'm driving? A Ford Focus. So, Lord, I'm still driving the Prius I've had for 10 years. And Babylon is, you know, driving out in Lexuses. So what is going on, God? Something's not working here. And you know what the tendency of people to do? They then begin to blame God. Well, if you would let me have my business like as cutthroat as the Babylonians do, they chew people up and spit them out. They lie. They build a roof and they say it's with stainless steel, and it ain't with stainless steel. In a year, it'll be nothing but rust. But I have to buy the expensive stuff, and they're undercutting me. And they're getting the business, and I'm suffering for doing it right. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate all your rules and regulations. And so they begin to blame the Lord and then begin to get bitter at the Lord. How many have ever heard of the nation of Babylon existing today? Now, spiritually, I'm talking about a real nation called Babylon. You know what happened? They're dead. Every one of them. Where's Israel? Ah, right where they're supposed to be. God knows something. It may look like your enemies are winning for a while, but they're not. They're not winning. Because they're after, if the Lord is not the center, destruction will follow. Right. Destruction will follow. And for a period of time, they may prosper, but it will catch up. And those who have stood, those who have been faithful, those who have not let go of the vision and the promise that the Lord has given them, those are the ones that will take the land. Amen. Those are the ones who will be established. And we find that in those scriptures. Now, this is what happened. Babylonian, this is what's so crazy. When Israel got bitter, Babylon came in and took over Israel. They opened a door. The devil got to camp right in their front yard. And you know what happened? Oh, Israel, every one of them repented and turned from their evil ways. Nope. They got more bitter. Oh, so the wealthy Babylonians now they get to be our master. Thank you, Jesus. They begin to become more bitter at the Lord. Now, some of them, when we read in these scriptures, some of them actually repented. And it was those who went back to Israel and established their nation again. It was those. And so bitterness will destroy you. Now, Colossians, you turn to Colossians, right? Just like God healed the brokenhearted of those people, You may start realizing this morning. Some of you right now may realize, you know what, honestly, I've been a little bitter. I'm seeing where that has been in my own life. I have very, very good news for you this morning. If you are saying that bitterness is in my life, I got good news for you. Just like the children of Israel, those who repented from their ways and went back to Israel, God established them and made them wealthier than when they left. God will heal your broken heart, establish you, and cause your family to be a greater family than ever before, your marriage to be a greater marriage than ever before, your kids to be the best kids on the block. Amen. It'll cause your life to turn around. But first, we've got to do exactly what the children of Israel did and repent. Now, Colossians 3 and 18. Are you ready for this one? Now we're going to look at a situation, how bitterness can come into a family's life. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands. I want to be very careful. I want to tread lightly on this because this has been overdone and mistaught by the church. This has been mistaught. This has been oppression for women, and that's not what it is. When God made women, where did he take the part of the body from? The rib. That was symbolic. He didn't take it from the foot. That would have been underneath. He didn't take it from the skull either, ladies. It doesn't mean that you were to rule your household with an iron fist. Let's just talk about some evil. Are you ready? How many people are under, 18 in this room? Okay, we got quite a few of you, so I'm going to tone it down a little bit. We're going to tone this down just a tad bit. Not much, but we're going to tone it down. It is evil for ladies for you to use anything to manipulate your husband into doing what you think he needs to be doing. Amen. It's one thing to motivate. It's another thing. And ungodly, not only ungodly, but if you shut something down, you know what I'm talking about. We're getting very clear here. If you use that to manipulate your husband, the Bible says it is evil. Right. What was the disciple that dealt with this? Paul. Paul stated, because they said, well, what if we want to fast and spend time with the Lord? Can we shut everything down then? And Paul's response was, not unless you have the other one's permission. And that goes to both sides, men and women. Amen. Not unless you talk to both and both agree. That's Bible. That's good. Didn't know Bible dealt with stuff like that? Read it. Yes. It's really good. So, wives, submit yourself. I wanted to finish this. It does not mean that you are a taskmaster, men. You don't rule your home with an iron fist either. You don't crack the whip. You don't force anybody to do anything. Because if you want, you let scriptures interpret scriptures. The Bible says, husbands and wife, submit yourself to one another. But you know who God's going to hold responsible in this household right here? If somebody goes the wrong way? Not her. Him. When trouble happened in the garden, who did God go to? Adam. Adam, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you, Adam? But Lord, and this is mankind, is it not the woman that you gave me? Serious, Adam, you're going to play that card? Really? Really, Adam, you're going to blame the woman? All right, let's have a family meeting. Eve, it was the snake, Lord. It was the animal that you created. Seriously, is this all coming back to me again? And that, I wonder, I have a mentality. What would have happened if Adam fell on his hands and knees and said, God, I am so sorry. God, forgive me. I messed up here. I should have never allowed this to happen. I wonder what would have happened. We'd all still be naked, running around, having a good time. Maybe, I don't know. Had designer leaves, I have no idea. Y'all are a bunch of crazy people. Colossians 3, we're still reading 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Now, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Bitterness can come into a man's heart when he feels his wife is not submitting the way he thinks they should. Men, you better get your mind right on how a woman is to submit. You better get that mentality, because it ain't like Jeff's wife. They have a great family. I love watching them work together. If they argue, they argue behind closed doors. I don't see it. Y'all don't ever argue. I like that. And so Jeff, they got a great family. I love that. But I can't compare my wife to Jeff's wife. One, Jesse won't be happy about it. That'll cause more trouble right there. Why can't you be like Jeff's wife? Why can't you be like Ryan's wife? We can't compare either, because we're called to do different things. And it might look different in your household. And your responsibilities as a husband may be different than the responsibilities of Jeff. Jeff works like a dog. Jeff cuts wood all day long. They have a wood for... I don't ever want to cut wood like Jeff. So if I'm ever going to have to compare my wife to his, I'm going to have to start comparing my life to Jeff's. Jeff has his own business. Jeff works to 2, 3 in the morning and gets up early. You know what Proverbs have to say about that? I don't know. You should check it out. And Jeff is a hard worker. So if I'm going to compare my wife to him, I better start comparing my life to him. Woo! Yo, y'all following me good this morning. It ain't wise to compare. And also the Bible says don't do it. The Bible says don't compare your life to others. It doesn't end well. Because you're called to do different things. It doesn't absolutely line up. Now, there are some things that absolutely go across the board, but there are some things that don't. And so your marriage is going to look different than someone else's marriage. And so men, don't allow bitterness. You know how not to allow bitterness? Love them. Love them as Christ loved the church. You don't think you ever ticked God off anytime? You don't think you ever made a mistake that hurt his feelings? Actually, he gave his son to die for you for all your mistakes. It cost him a lot. All right, I'm finishing up here. Proverbs 17. So we understand that bitterness can come into because of husband and wife relationships. We're also going to look, children can cause bitterness. Not your kids, I'm talking about the other kids. Proverbs 17:25. A foolish son is grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bared him. Let's just think about that for a moment. Children that don't live up to their potential, they just slack off, and you know they can do well. They can remember every, 20,000 songs. They know every lyric to it. You turn the radio, and they sing it like it's, they know every word, and then get an F in spelling. Oh, I can't remember. Yes, you can. You just better start singing it as a song is your problem. It can cause bitterness to come in. You had everything to make life well, and you think they picked the wrong job. We've taught you so well, but yet you live like this. It can bring bitterness into a family. Parents, don't let bitterness come in. Don't let that come into your life over your kids. And can I tell you something else, parents? Moms, dads, your kids, they're going to turn 18 and leave the house. Your husband or wife, they're going to be there to the day you go home to be with Jesus, or they do first, or Jesus comes back. I don't know which one's going to happen. Recognize that in your relationship, too. You love your kids. I ain't telling you to put your kids out. You love your kids, but recognize there's a difference and recognize who's going to stay with you. All right, that's for somebody. All right, now we're going to talk about, I'm ending, steps to get out of bitterness. Isaiah 38. Some of these you're just going to have to write down because I'm not going to wait for you to turn there. Isaiah 38:17. First thing we have to do is recognize bitterness as a sin. If you are in bitterness, you are in sin. If you need to sing it to memorize it, you go ahead. It says in verse 38 and 17, behold, for the peace I had great bitterness. In other words, they traded their peace. They had peace at one time, and now they're great in bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered me from the pit of corruption. Bitterness will cause you to be corrupt. For thou hast cast all my sins behind my back. I ask for forgiveness, and God has got rid of all of them. So we recognize it as sin. Then we uproot it. Number two, you uproot bitterness. Let's turn to Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. You know, to follow peace with everybody, some people can't be in your circle. Some people just can't be with you. Some people are like oil and water, cats and dogs. Scorpion and fish and crickets. Look it up. They're just enemies, natural enemies. Gators and beavers. They just don't hang out together. They hate each other. Dogs and gators. Maybe that's one you understand. A gator will get in your boat to get a dog. They love them. Apparently, they must be tasty. And so, they're just natural enemies. Just natural enemies. So there's some people, to love them and be at peace with them, they just can't be in your home all the time. You need to recognize that. And I ain't saying not going to family get-togethers at Christmas and Thanksgiving. Get yourself up. Prepare yourself. Pray. Get yourself in line. Go deal with it. Come home. And thank God you made it through it. All right. You didn't go to jail. You didn't punch anyone in the face. You're doing great. Be like last Christmas photo. Okay. And so we got to uproot it. So we follow peace with all men, but with no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It says it starts as a root. You got to, if you have those dandelions in your yard, if you just pick that flower up and blow that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have more dandelions, and that dandelion's going to pop itself right back up. Oh, yeah. So on the outside, you may look nice. You cut your grass, the grass looks nice. In 2 or 3 days, you've got a lot of dandelions popping up. So you cut your grass so you look nice. And then 2 or 3 days, you're the neighbor. Everybody else is fertilizing. Everybody else is killing it at its very root. And you allow the dandelions. So if you're holding on to bitterness, if you have friends, they look at you like the neighbor who has a bunch of dandelions in their yard. And you're causing that to come on over to my yard. And I got to fight even harder if I allow you in my life to keep those dandelions out. You get that? So you got to get it at its very root. Now, how do you get it up at its root? You got to be diligent. The Bible says to be diligent. You got to watch over it. And how it opens, when that starts playing in your mind, you got to stop it. And when that feeling, that bitterness comes up, you got to kill it. I'm going to tell you something. One thing you might have to do is like the story in the Bible that says, do you believe? And he answered Jesus and said, yes, I believe. Now help my unbelief. Your step might have to be say, God, I've letting go of this bitterness right now. Help me let go of this bitterness. You take the first step and God will be with you every moment of the way. He promises you, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I feel like I'm doing it on my own. Well, you're wrong. Number three, you got to get rid of it. Ephesians 4 and 30 says this. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? We sin. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit of God. So if you're in bitterness, that is grieving the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know what this ending verse is saying? If you want to play the I have a right game, the Lord has a right to be bitter with you, and he forgave you and has loving, tender thoughts about you. God says, my thoughts about you are only good. That's the mouth of the Lord speaking about you. I don't think bad about you. I think only good about you. And God's saying, I've done it. Now it's your time. It's your time to do what I've taught you. As a father who walks before his kids and a mother who walks before her kids, there comes a day that you want the kids to stand up and do and be everything that you taught them to be. That's what God is saying. I've done it for you. I've showed you how. Now walk before me and you do it. It's time to walk. It's time to stand up. So you've got to recognize it as a sin. You've got to uproot it and you've got to get rid of it. If you tell me you can't get rid of bitterness, you're wrong. Because God tells us to do it. And God never tells us to do something we cannot do. Do you tell your kids, hey, jump on the roof, climb up there and get an umbrella and jump off like Mary Poppins and float away? You don't tell your kids to do that. Why? Because you would be evil and hateful and mean and just cruel. You'd just be absolutely horrible. Now, if you've done that, I hope you caught them. But this is the deal. This is the deal. Are you ready? If you wouldn't do that to your children, do you think the Lord would really do it to his? Tell you to do something you can't do? Set you up for failure? Absolutely not. God is telling you something that you can do. So if he says that you can let go of all bitterness, then let go of all bitterness. Let it go. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word. If there's any bitterness on the inside of us,